sir.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you this afternoon?
All right, you know. We're good, sir.
Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left, your right, would be the Honorable Luis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your hearing this afternoon. Mr. Vaughn, I'm going to be going over some information with you. As I go over this information, sir, if there's something that you think is not right, please feel free to stop or correct me, okay?
Okay.
So you're appearing before this board for an absolute discharge or parole to your next consecutive sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're currently serving actually three sentences that are running concurrently to each other. Actually, they were consecutive to another sentence. In other words, for they were all 28-year sentences and one 20-year sentence, which has expired for sexual assault, burglary, and another sexual assault charge. You will become parole eligible on August 30th of 2019. So that's the date that they have established for you to become eligible for parole, sir. It looks like that if you were paroled to your next consecutive sentence, you will go to a 28-year sentence for sexual assault. Is that your understanding or something similar to that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sir, according to your institutional progress report, you have a release plan on the state that when given a chance to go back to the community, you will stay with your son, Ruben Flores, in Phoenix, and you will stay there and the son would happy until you find a job. Says that you work as a cook and hope that you'll be able to use your skills when you get on the outside, and you will also be having some social security benefits when you get released. I see that you have taken quite a bit of programming since you've been incarcerated, sir, but it looks like your last program you took was in 2016 when you took a couple of classes. It also shows that you do have a citation that you received back in April of 2017 for promoting prison contraband, which was a minor. You was found guilty. And then you also have another ticket you received in July of 2014 for assault on a staff member, sir. Can you tell me what those were about?
In 2014, I was laid at a quarterly shakedown, and the staff member that I decided took a jar of coffee and threw it away. When I approached him and asked him, you know, why would he do that? He said he didn't recommend throwing no coffee away, but he had the ID proof that was on my stitching card. And I stepped back and he came through the door and he asked me, he told me, he said, if I ever approached him that way again, that he would knock me on my tail and cuff me up. And I backed off and I told him, I said, well, I didn't approach you like that. I said, you came through the door and approached me. And he said, well, I tell you what, the next time you do it, I'm going to knock you on your butt and handcuff you. And I said, well, I see where this is going, so I'm going to leave. And he told me, cuff up. I put my hand up on the thing and up on the guard station. And one of the females found up, and she was like, why is he cuffing you up and writing you up for free on ID clip? I said, I don't know. And when I turned around, he was putting some gloves on with some knots in them. And as I was turning back, all I saw was two hands came towards me, hit me in the chin and on the side of the jaw, and I just stepped back and everybody was coming through and I told him, no. You know, I said, no, we don't need no ride. And he was coming forward again and I just stepped back and I hit him.
Okay. So what was the gun that you had with the soda bottle that had fermented intoxicating beverage in it in 2017.
Well, you know, there was some fruits in there, but it wasn't no alcohol or nothing like that. He said it was fermented, but it wasn't fermented. It was just sitting up there. Because we were getting filled in the cell. And we just sitting up there, and when it was not to go to work, he came to the house, you know, and he found us sitting right there on the shelf.
All right, sir. And according to your AIMS test that I see here, what are you, 60 years old now?
Yes, sir.
61?
Yes, sir.
And I see since you've been incarcerated, you did have quite a bit of citations. I see 3-4 pages of citations that you actually received since you've been in there. But it looks like that you have started to calm down with these citations that you received in this. You had a disrespect that was in October of this last year for a disrespect that was in finally resolved. What was that one about?
In October, what was it like? What was it about, though?
That's right.
Disrespect. It
says, I think it was had to do with you was by a kitchen cart in the kitchen. And it told you to, and it was full of sheets that was loaded with cinnamon rolls or something. And the guard told you to step back, and then you had a conversation with him telling him to shut the fuck up.
No, I now don't remember what you're talking about. Now, this started out when I was in SMU, and they came over, and I had talked to one of the supervisor, and I told him, you know, because one of the other supervisors here said something, I had to go and get it corrected by the supervisor. And this particular supervisor, when it started over there, and I come over here, and I let one of the officers know, you know, that she was one of the ones over there that kept on trying to get me in the middle of things. And when I was a line server over here, and when they said, you know, line server put up the food, that's my job. And when I went to put up the food, she was really on the south side, and I was on the north side, and she said that I said something, I shut something up. And there was a police, another officer and another white shirt sitting there, and I asked him, I said, well, if she said, I said that, why did they respond to that? Because they were closer to me than anybody else. So when we went back, when I went to the chief disciplinary, you know, they talked to me and gave me a verbal reprimand, and then after that, she tried it again. And I told her, I said, well, you see what she just did? I said, I was spending my business. And she came up and she asked me, hey, Big Daddy, you ain't gonna talk to me or something? You gonna just shine me on? I didn't say that. So he looked at me and pointed at his eye, let me know that he see what she was doing. And I said, I talked to SSU. And SSU, they told me they were just going to pull me out and give me another job because they saw me do what she was trying to do.
Okay. So I see that the programming that you take, how come you didn't take any of the STOP or any sex classes? Because I didn't see that in there.
you know, I don't know because, you know, through my trial, you know, I didn't commit the crime. You know, if they would have kept, if they would have gave me the semen test and everything, it would prove that I was innocent. So, you know, I didn't feel like, you know, what type of crime did my, you know, fit me.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm still fighting it right now. You know, I'm trying to fight it. But, you know, yeah, they took, you know, what I requested is for the blood and some auburn hairs, and then at the end, before trial started, then we find out they destroyed everything.
So these incidents that occurred started back in like 1984. A female said that she had a knock on the door. She was awakened by a knock on the front door at her apartment. She thought maybe it was her husband, and then someone entered into a house, violently punching her several times with the fist and knocked her to her knees, and said she gave up and she fell to the living room floor. She said she tried to fight back, but that she resisted, she got hit more severely and thought she would get hit more severely or killed. And then allegedly you had sexual sex with her. And then you had another one in July of 1984. Says that you were arrested in Maricopa County Jail for the present offense. At that time, you were in custody in connection with the investigation of another sexual assault. Said the police matched your fingerprints with the latent prints removed from the victim's apartment. And then there was a series of other sexual assaults that had occurred that you had been identified as being the suspect in, sir. So you tell me that you weren't involved in any of these sexual assaults?
I wasn't involved in any of them. And the only way they did say they identified was because they took some pictures out to the victim's house. Uh-huh. And when he gave me a personal lineup, now one of the people that was on the pictures that they took to the victim's house was in the personal lineup. So that's what she got all the value picked up, but she didn't see none of the ones that's in the pictures that they took to her house.
So your contention is how did they wind up there? Because they got your fingerprints in one, you were already in jail in another one. And the MO on these sexual assaults were all similar in the way they were committed. So how did they wind up coming to you then, sir?
Well, I was acquitted on the murder case they tried to give me.
Uh-huh.
That I didn't have anything to do with that. And my lawyer told me anything in my vicinity about me being a convict, and they was mad at me, that I would be, she was all of this. This was all in the vicinity where I lived at.
Okay.
And one of them was a few blocks from where my wife worked at a bank.
Uh-huh.
And said all the evidence that they brought in, some of the evidence was given back to the victim, and then during the trial they told me that if they would have something on me, they were gonna let me go, and all of a sudden all this stuff started coming back, to the prosecutor, and they saying that they had did these people personally, and none of my minds was on there, none of the people that knew that there wasn't on there, but all of a sudden when we get ready for trial, they have to come back when they say they had nothing said that I committed a crime.
Okay, well, so it looked like you had an extensive juvenile record that included robbery, burglary, trespassing, indecent acts, assault. You had a probation violation. Looked like you were doing some paint sniffing back then. Do you see the murder and the robbery charge that was adjudicated, and throwing objects and some other things. Then as I see it was something in 75 that it had an assault with intent to commit murder. It looks like you were remanded. That's when you were remanded to adult court. But as an adult, looks like you had an assault with a deadly weapon, gun, armed robbery, violation of parole, resisting arrest, trespassing, seven counts of sexual assault, which are some of the things that we're talking about now. So you have an extensive juvenile record as well as in a record of you as an adult, sir, that you have been involved in numerous violent crimes. Tell me, Mr. Bond, what has changed that would say why this boy should consider paroling you to your next consecutive sentence, sir?
Well, like you said, I came in here and I got into programs and stuff. I've quiet down. I'm trying to get to pass all that there and live a better life.
Uh-huh.
You know, about me doing all these programs and doing, you know, it's changing. And, you know, it ain't that it's gonna change overnight. You know, at least I am trying, you know, to change my life.
So, sir, I know that you said you could stay with your son. Is there a reason why we don't have any letters of support or any of your family that may be here in support of you, sir?
Well, you know, I tried getting to it where it was a housing thing, you know, but you know, I couldn't get a hold to him. You know, one quit, and I ain't been able to get a hold of the other one yet. And I've been asking, you know, have my counselor see if she can, you know, locate him, you know, because they both work, used to work for the Department of Correction.
Fine.
You know, and, you know, I ain't been able to get a hold of even one of them.
So, Mr. Bond, how long have you been incarcerated, sir?
34 years.
34 years?
Yes, sir.
And you said the reason you haven't taken the STOP class or any sex class because you don't feel like you were involved in the sexual assault, you were convicted by a jury trial.
Yes.
All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Say no additional questions coming, sir. Mr. Bond, I think that you have been before this board before where they paroled you to your next consecutive sentence. I do want to note that there's a letter here from the county attorney's office where they're objected to any type of release and of parole to your next consecutive sentence. Well, did you get paroled out at one point, sir, and then go back in?
What, to prison?
Yes.
On this, that I'm doing now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I haven't been on the street since 84.
Okay, I was looking at this and I just see there's a note in here from the county attorney, but it was a little confusing because it was saying that you had been released and then you went back in on they violated your parole, but I didn't see the same thing showing the Ames test that was on in this letter from the county attorney's office, so. All right, Mr. Bond, I'm sorry, sir, go ahead.
No, I've never been out yet.
Okay.
I mean, now I'm 34 straight.
Okay, so we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. I'm going to give you the opportunity to see if there's anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion, sir.
Yes, sir. It is something I'd like to say. On my sentencing. When I was sentencing, I was sentenced to 15 to 21, which was ran consecutive, concurrent. The 228s. They were supposed to be ran concurrent, but some of them know that they ran both of you. And on the year 2 trial, they tried 228s together.
Okay, sir, I'm looking at your sentence arrangement. I can only go by what we have presented to us, that you did have two 28-year sentence tied together. You had a 28-year sentence for sexual assault, dangerous, repetitive. And then you had another 28-year sentence that was for sexual assault. So you do have two 28-year sentences that are running consecutive to each other. But you also have a third 28-year sentence for sexual assault that's running consecutive to those other 28-year sentences.
I don't understand because when my lawyer asked her, you know, she said she was going to run the 21 to 15 overrated and with the 28s, and the 28 and the 28 was supposed to be ran concurrent.
Okay, you do have a 28-year sentence for burglary in the first degree and a 21-year sentence for sexual assault that are running, look like 28 is consecutive to CO1. CO1 was a 21-year sentence. You do have. I'm going to tell you that it looks like that you had some 28-year sentences that ran together, and then you had two 20-year sentences, and then you have a 28-year sentence that's still pending according to the information that we have. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do, sir, is get with your CO3, have them check with time comp to see, you know, exactly what time you have left. But according to what I'm looking at here, sir, you're serving a 28-year sentence right now that you have a August 30th that you will be parole eligible. Then you go to another two 28-year sentences that are running together that you will be paroled to if you get paroled to your next consecutive sentence. So basically it would say that you still have a 28-year sentence remaining, okay? But check with your CO3 and have them check with time comp if there is some discrepancy in what you think your sentencing should be, okay?
All right.
So, right now,
how many sentences
am
I doing right now?
Looks like that right now you are on a 28-year sentence for a sexual assault. You become parole eligible on that 28-year sentence. You will become parole eligible on that sentence on August 30th of 2019. You'll become parole eligible on those two sentences, and then after that, you will go to two more 28-year sentences that you have waiting stacked on top of that. But the two 28-year sentences after that are running concurrent to each other.
So the one that I paroled from the 20th to the 28th, I'm doing now.
Well, the 28 and the 28 were all running together. So the 20 should be expired, and you still have the time left on your 28 years. That 28, you was doing a 20, 28, and a 28.
Well, what I'm saying, I got paroles on the 20th, 20,000, right, to the 28, which I was supposed to be doing 2/3 on.
It looks like you were doing a 20-year sentence. You became parole eligible on April 30th for 2014.
Excuse me. I was doing a 21 sentence. And then I turned over doing 2/3 and the over 65%. I took the 21 in 2000 with parole to the 28.
Right.
So I didn't kill it. 2/3 of that 28 was supposed to be what, 18 years, 2 months?
I don't know, sir, but this thing is, I'm just telling you the best that I can read it, but you're going to have to work with your CO3 and then come up with, have them work with time comp to see what exactly that you have. And I can tell you basically what I'm looking at is that you're ending a 28-year sentence that you became parole eligible. You'll be parole eligible on August of this year. And then if you get paroled to your next consecutive sentence, you go to another 28-year sentence. To your last
sentence. Then I got to do another 28?
Yes, sir. That's what it looks to me. But check with your CO3 and check with time comp, okay? So we're going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we're going to make a decision whether to grant or deny you parole to your next consecutive sentence. So I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the conversation taking place. And then after we finish that, sir, I will get back with you with the decision of the board. But please stay on the phone, Mr. Bond, so you can hear the conversation taking place. All right?
Okay.
This is a case, it looks like, as best as I can read it, that Mr. Bond is currently on a 28-year sentence. There's some other sentence that's running concurrent to it, that if the road to his next consecutive sentence, he would go to his next 28-year sentence that he actually has. But according to the information that I'm looking at, Mr. Bond is convicted by a jury trial for sexual assault, in which Mr. Vaughn says that he wasn't involved in it, and the MO and the fingerprint was found in at least one of them. We don't have a police report that he was actually involved in those sexual assaults. He has not been involved in any STOP classes or any sex classes because he feels as though he wasn't involved, so he doesn't have to take those. He does have, over the years that he's been incarcerated, 3-4 pages of tickets that he's actually received. He had a ticket that he received last year in October that was disrespect, and it was informally resolved. And he had another one back in April of 17 that was promoting prison contraband. He had another one that was disobeying a verbal in 2015 that he had. And so he had another one back in July of 14 that was assault on his staff. I think that Mr. Vaughn has been in there over 30 years, as he's told us, but I think that before I parole him, I would be comfortable paroling him to his next consecutive sentence. I would like to see him take some sex classes as well as, you know, not come with any tickets that he has recently received. And it's been less than a year that he received his last ticket that was informally resolved, although he did explain to us the situation involving it. So at this point in time, I'm not in favor of paroling Mr. Bond to his next consecutive sentence. I am willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I just wanted to point out that considering how heinous these crimes are, he has yet to do a full sentence in anything that he was sentenced to, meaning it looks like he did 16 years on a 21-year sentence. He's on a trajectory to do 20 years on a 28-year sentence, and he's talking about another 28 years, and he's yet to have done a 28-year sentence. So I think the sentence, I think the system has been lenient up to this point, and I am not in support. I'm not supporting the parole. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no other comments, then I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Vaughn parole to his next consecutive sentence or a absolute discharge. That would be my motion.
Second.
Also included with that, I'm going to ask for a 1-year set off.
The crime was before July 1st of 84.
Well, the one that he has in there was on July 5th of 1984, one day. And it says if it's after July 1st, 1984.
Okay.
All right. 1 year. Thank you, sir.
So it's motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal. The reasons for denial is that it wasn't serious and violent offenses. They were assaulted, serious and deviant offense, since there was a sexual assault and trauma to the victim. Serious bodily injury, as one of the victims were assaulted and struck in the face. Multiple victims. I'm going to mark that he had a history because substance abuse, history of assaultive behavior, and prior criminal history, as well as a repeat offender. And also marked poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction. No mark, no family or community support, although he did say he could stay with his son. However, there's nothing in here to indicate that that's all going on. Those would be the reasons for denial, unless the board has some other things that they'd like to see. Okay, Mr. Vaughn?
Aye.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you parole to your next consecutive sentence or an absolute discharge. We also asked for a 1-year set off. That means that you'll be eligible to come back to this board in about a year served. At that time, the Department of Corrections will determine when you're eligible to come back before this board, sir. Did you hear the reasons for the denial, sir? Okay, well, sir, that's, okay, Mr. Vaughn, that's going to conclude the hearing at this time. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you could put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
All right, thank you.